Blog Talk Radio.
Late show, baby. I root for one team.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir. I love it. Woohoo! The month of February is upon us. Black History Month, all that fun stuff, and we are here to another awesome edition talking sports with the 12th man. This is what we do, and we just enjoy it, you know. So again, we're checking in. We've got some traveling folks, Gary. We got some nice people going to join in and all that fun stuff. But you know how we do it. So let's get this party started as always on this special Thursday night edition of Talking Sports 12th Man. But you know how we do it. We like to go around the horn, as they say, do a quick check-in. And so I'm going to check in with my guy, Mr. JQ. How you feeling today, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. I've had a couple of days to digest that loss. But, you know, it is what it is. Hard to get to the Super Bowl in back-to-back years. But, you know, good season. Several with. But I figured, you know, starting off Black History Month, I'll put my give y'all a little HBCU love. Put on this Rattler gear for y'all one time and start Black History Month. I might just think it's the same for all the shows during February.
Good stuff. I was scared. I'm just glad you didn't pull up some Bethune-Cookman, man. So thank you for doing that, man. So good stuff, man. So way to represent.
You know I put on no damn BCC. Are y'all chill, man?
I know. That was definitely just, Ed Reed over here, man. So it's all good. Let's check in with
that's a rival.
My guy, Mr. Yeah, I know it is. I'm just giving you some hard times.
Yeah,
Rob Poole,
yeah.
How you feeling,
right there.
All good. Rob, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Doing great, man. Had some amazing pompano and asparagus tonight. You know, had a really good dinner. Feeling good, man.
Jesus.
His inside's been blown up. Let's check in with Gary and guess what's going on, Gary. How you feeling this evening, bro? Jumping in. Uh-oh. Hold
you
on,
said
Gary.
He couldn't hear us.
We're going to get Gary back in. Yeah. Rob, are you in too as well? Okay, hold on. Yeah. We got to get Gary back in. Looks like the call dropped for some reason. So we're going to get Gary back in a quick second, make sure he's good to go. And we'll go
that
ahead.
That woman outfit he was wearing so. Today.
Say it again. The internet.
He said that woman outfit he put in earlier today. He took his man card and went ahead and joined the show.
That's probably what happened. Blog Talk is like, nope. We can talk all kinds of junk until he jumps on to listen to the episode.
He's man, a better woman than all of us.
Oh, man. Here we go. Oh, man. Shade is heavy. You hear us? I just added him, so he should be in here. I just added you. Okay. While we're waiting for that to kick in, let me throw really quickly the number that Gary was trying to call into the show. It's the same number every single week, the 424-243-9519.
Okay,
reach out to that.
I just want the speakerphone.
No, we got you, Gary.
We got you. We can hear you.
Can you hear us, Gary?
Can you hear us, Gary?
I can hear you now. Yeah, sorry about that.
All right.
We were setting you up for an awesome check-in with you, man, but we were talking so much junk about your outfit, man. You just missed all the jokes, man. So, but,
yeah,
we were checking in.
Probably good. I know that I got a couple of nice text messages from JQ, and I won't tell you what he said, but I guess we're going to be having dinner here in a couple of weeks.
Sorry,
JQ, sorry. Wasn't supposed to say anything.
I know I'm in for you here, Gary. I know. Just out there rolling around thinking about me. It's sad, man. There's places you can go to talk to people about that.
Oh, man. Are you hanging out with Antonio Brown over there, Gary?
What's that? Say that again.
Are you hanging out with Antonio Brown? Are you hanging out with Antonio Brown? That's what I was talking about. So, you know.
Come on, man. Yeah. Come on, man. Come on, man.
It's all good. Hey, Gary.
You running out
so
in the desert taking your shirt off, Gary?
doing more than taking the shirt off. You're hanging out with Antonio Brown.
We're having too much fun.
Well, and, we just got those dresses on. And then all these people.
Derek, don't lie.
And then all of these
people.
You've
had that in your closet for a while, so it's okay.
Thank you, Marlon.
Several nylons. Hey,
luckily I have one in his size, too. Yeah.
Hey, thank you for letting me borrow
it. One of my favorite sayings is, a lie doesn't care who tell it. So, Marlon, thanks for revealing Gary's lie there.
We are having fun, and again, we want to welcome Marlon to the show as well. So we're going to have some fun. I will be remiss. One of my favorite lines is from a movie from Rush Hour, and they're both they had been beaten up, and they run around naked in the city, and they run to Jeremy Piven, and like, there's men chasing us, and he's like, as well they should be, you know. So I just think of that one line every time. That's just like one of my lines. I'm like, oh man,
that's Rush Hour two, ain't it?
Things, man. So yeah, Rush Hour two, just was crazy. So anyway. We're going to have some fun. We've got the numbers. We've thrown that out there. Follow us on Twitter, which is @12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsportsthe12thman, or if you put 12th Man Sports, you'll find us in that arena. We post all kinds of fun stuff. We post the shows. And thank you, Rob, again, for posting another mock draft. I'm not sure if that's mock draft, you know, 3-point something or 4-point something, but, again, we're going to talk about that today as well. Gentlemen, let's get this party started. Without further ado, right off the rip, we're going to talk about Gary's favorite person, Tom Brady. He retires again. Is this final? Is this it? Is this the final thing? Please, God, please, dear Lord, say it is. I'm going to throw it to Gary. Your thoughts, man, and we'll kick this party off, man.
Well, you know, after we beat the Bucks, in the wild card round, I had that hope. I had that hope that would be his last game. That would be his last bad taste in his mouth. You guys remember me saying that?
Yeah,
so
I do.
Hopefully, unless he comes back again, maybe that'll be just his last taste in his mouth. That last knock to the ground. I'm hoping that's what it is. I think it is. I don't think he made, you know, he didn't make a big deal about things. He knew he made a big deal the previous year and then came back. So he had a long run, you know, a lot of asterisks on their Super Bowls. I want to say one extra thing. I did hear that Kraft has reached out to him and ask him if he wanted to meet him down in Miami at the massage parlor.
No.
Scary, man.
And now he's single, so now he can. He's not going to get in trouble. So I guess they're going to have a really good time down there.
That's terrible.
I kind of don't agree. I mean, what's stopping from coming back? I mean, he's not injured. He hasn't had any concussions. I mean, if he finds the right spot, I mean, there's several teams.
He's already announced he's retired. He's retired.
He did that a couple of years ago.
Last year.
Yeah.
And he came back.
Exactly.
I mean, nothing's going to stop him.
I'll trust that
joker. He finds the right spot. I mean, he'll be back.
I think this is it. You saw his skills diminish big time last year. There was a big drop from the year before to this past year, in my opinion. And I think he realized that. Yeah, I really think this is it for Tom Brady. And his team barely made the playoffs. They were in a sucky division. Every other team in the division didn't have a quarterback this year, and they barely had one. And they went 8-9. And yeah, his skills completely diminished. He can't move in the pocket. You know, I think he's done. He realizes. I don't think he wants to go out there and embarrass himself anymore.
Well, two things. Kraft did reach out to him, and not to go to the massage parlor. He reached out to him. He said he would be more than willing to give him a one-day contract so he could retire a Patriot. So, you know, that was the piece that I read about Kraft. I really think what Tom Brady has done, and his skills have diminished, but you can, to your point, Marla, he can go to a good spot where you can give him some offensive players and whatnot. But this dude, if you watch him, he does not want to get hit anymore. You can see it in there. Like, yeah, he wants to go play and hang out with the guys, but that standing there for another half a second later and get hit in the mouth and deliver that pass, he don't want to do it no more, man. So if you don't give him a super clean pocket and it ain't right there where he can also run the ball half the time and then play action pass off of that, if it gets dicey with that offensive line or somebody gets hurt, if he comes back, he might quit again mid-year. Like, he just don't want to get hit no more. And there's nothing wrong with that. I keep telling you, that dude is legitimately 8 days older than me. And I'm sitting here, and I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. You talking about getting out of gloom and letting somebody hit you hard, 300 pounds, 17 weeks out of a year? Yeah, no, I don't want to do that shit either. So I don't blame him. He's at the point of 45, getting ready to be 46 in August, where he's just like, hey, man, I got seven chips.
Yep.
I can walk right to millions of dollars in the Fox broadcast. It was so much so they're going to knock down Olsen, who's been doing a really good job, to the second crew so he could be on the first crew without having ever done it. Like, he's got opportunities with his brand to go get the money. And if he goes and commentates, he can go to these games. He can do the pre-production meetings. He can get in the locker room that way and hang around the sport. I just don't think that dude wants to get hit no more. He don't want no more of that smoke. I think he's done. You can just tell. He was just like, oh. And he was dunking before he even let go of the ball. He's through with it.
Yeah.
Well,
and I thought the same thing at the end of last season.
Doesn't he have a contract waiting for him in the booth?
Yeah. $10 million.
He can be around the game. And he doesn't have to, you know, go put his, you know, his body at that age through all of this stuff.
That's what I'm saying,
I'm sure it's a very lucrative offer, whatever it
it's
is.
Oh,
it
is.
Very lucrative.
Yeah.
Yep, very
it's
lucrative.
It's huge.
You know, JQ makes an interesting point. I thought the same thing about Tom Brady at the end of last year. If you look at that playoff game last year against the Rams, and I looked at that game, the Rams was beating his ass into the ground. And I was like, man, ain't no way he's coming back and played. And he decided to still come back. I mean, he initially retired and came back. I thought the same thing. The way the Rams beat his ass in that playoff game last year, he was bloody and everything else. I didn't think he was coming back after that.
Right.
I definitely don't think
I'm
going to
say,
back.
Yeah, I think we're kind of on the same page that he's not coming back, but, you know, I won't say anything until the papers get facts that he says I'm retiring, you know, whenever that actually goes through the NFL office, you know, that he's done too. But I think everyone on the call, we definitely agree that he should and will retire. He does have a fantastic offer to jump into the broadcast booth, as we talked about, 10-year, $375 million deal. But, again, it's like, bruh, don't try to do this to us. And I want to make sure those papers are getting facts to say I'm officially retired, if you will. So, but speaking of Tom Brady, But speaking of Tom Brady and the scorched earth that was left, you know, obviously what's happening in Tampa Bay, it's a dumpster fire now. You know, obviously they fired Byron Leftwich, and the two quarterbacks right now on the roster are actually Kyle Trask and Blaine Gabbert. So that's who you're looking at as far as the quarterback. So I guess the question is, who is the quarterback, if you will? So I'm going to throw that to Ron to start with you, JQ. Is the quarterback on the roster, or are we like, what the hell? So you've got that option to kind of start it off, man.
And the crazy thing about that is, with that division being so bad and you're still trying to sell off for Tom Brady, is you put yourself right on that cusp, right? We're not even on the cusp. We're outside the top 10. We all know the quarterbacks are probably going into the top 10. So selling out for that last hurrah with Tom Brady gets you in the playoffs, but now you're picking, what are they, like 15th, 17th, 17th, somewhere in there? In the draft now. 19th, okay. So even further down, right? So now you pick yourself out of that market. I think they drafted Kyle Trask, wanting him to learn, you know, at the pit, sorry, for lack of a better term, a Tom Brady, and learn what it takes to be professional and see his, you know, but it's true, right? If I draft you and I don't have to put you in right away, you don't have those worries of having to go out to live up to some kind of mantra, you know, some mantle. You can sit there and watch Tom Brady work for a couple of years and pick his brain, and then you're saying, okay, now we drafted you, feel like you had the talent, we're going to put you there. But I still think they bring another veteran quarterback in. I don't know who it's going to be with the, you know, the
the musical chairs, how they go. Do they really think that Derek Carr could be that guy? Do they think they could go get Geno from Seattle because he's a free agent as well? Like, do they say, ooh, Garoppolo, come on down. You know how the Patriot way he is. You know how Tom Brady did it. You come through something halfway decent. Like, I don't know where their thought process is. I think Trask is still the number two. I believe that Blaine is a practice squad quarterback, emergency number three at best. He's not going to start. If he starts, then Kyle Trask should just go ahead and start selling insurance. Because if he can't beat out Blaine Gabbert to at least start this season, then he's already lost, right? So I think you put Trask at the two. See if he works out. See if he shows you some glimpses. But you got to go get a veteran quarterback at least a stopgap. Yep. And if he doesn't do what you need him to do, then now you're in next year's draft, maybe you're a little higher and you got a shot at a Caleb Williams or something like that, depending on how bad or good or bad that, you know, Trask and veteran quarterback X comes in and does. So I think that's the plan. I think they know that this year is probably dead at this point in terms of the championship, and they got to go. You got to rebuild at some point.
I would throw it to Rob.
Yeah, I think the starting
quarterback. I'm going to say this really quick. I know you're going to do your quarterback thing, but whenever he said tit, it reminded me of that one preacher that loved. Remember the one preacher that we always see film? And he always talking about, if you like big titties, you like big titties. Remember that preacher that we saw? We like, this dude had a problem with, he was a preacher, and we like, sometimes you got big titties. We're like, why is this guy such a titties, man?
Hey,
like,
yeah, whoa.
This is a preacher. He's like, some of y'all maybe think
that man. I was there. I was there.
Like,
man, that guy said. That's a preacher. That's how preachers from Hattiesburg, Mississippi talk, man. That's just what we're trying to tell a congregation. He said, some of y'all just need to be happy with who y'all are. Stop trying to be somebody else. Be happy with who you are. If you got big titties, you just got big titties.
Yeah.
And then what did he say? Some of y'all are still baby saints. He said, some of y'all are still baby saints. Y'all still fucking. We're like, oh, man.
Well, I think Tampa Bay is going to go after, I probably Jimmy G. That would be my guess. I think they go after Jimmy G. Because he's not going to be, you know, I think he'll be an okay fill-in quarterback till they figure out what, he's not going to be a long-term fix for him. I don't think they will get an opportunity to go after, I think Aaron Rodgers will probably end up staying right where he's at. I think that Jimmy G does not, and that may be, but Jimmy G, they do not want him in San Francisco. Shanahan has been on record saying he's done. He will not be on our roster next year. So that'll be one that'll be, he'll be peddled quick, he'll be peddled early, and that'll be one that they can pick up and fill in for a couple of years.
And, Gary, you took the words right out of my mouth right before Andre started talking about big titties. But anyway, I was going to say the same thing, Gary. I think it's either going to be Jimmy G or Kyle Trask, the starting quarterback of Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay did invest a high draft pick on Kyle Trask, second-round pick. Eventually, you expect the second-round pick to be a starting quarterback. He did sit behind Brady for 3 years. So, you know, is it time now to give him the football? He had a heck of a senior season with Florida. I'm not sure what he's going to be like in the pros. But it's either going to be Kyle Trask or somebody like a Jimmy G. So, you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if many teams need a quarterback right now. The whole NFC South need a quarterback right now. All four teams in the NFC South. Need a quarterback now. Las Vegas needs a quarterback. Houston needs a quarterback. Indianapolis needs a quarterback, even though they got prime position in the draft to get a quarterback. There's a lot of teams right now that need a quarterback, and they're not enough to go around. So we'll see, you know, what direction.
There'll
Tampa
be some
goes.
Of these backup quarterbacks in the league that are going to have get an opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the league. We'll see how some of them do.
Yeah, we'll talk about it because Sam Darnold.
I'm not signing none of these MFers for my team, not for more than 1 year. What backup quarterback, and I'm not even going to put Jimmy G in that mold because he was a starter until he got hurt. What backup quarterback out there, you was like, you know what, if I had that guy as my starter, man, we would go places. Like, if I'm a GM, I wouldn't bring none of them jokers in Like, I'm going to give me a draft. I've been trying to trade for a starter, but I've been giving them no for real money. Like, Jimmy G was a starter, so that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to put him in that piece of it. But, yeah, no, I don't want Derek Carr either. I'd rather just suck for a year with trash and go get – if he ain't the guy, go get the guy next year, personally. What's the point of messing around with it?
I will say, like Mike White from the Jets, he played pretty well. But, again, it's still a small sample size. You know, there's a couple, you know, quarterbacks.
Hell,
I know, I'm just saying. But that's just me, you know. But, again, yeah, but I'm saying there's – you know, obviously Tyler Heinicke played pretty decent. But, you know, like I said, you don't know, right? You're still – there's no guarantee, right? But, again, I know you're shaking your head, JQ, but I'm saying you got a rookie that's coming in, and I get it, and you got, like, this point, at least had some NFL experience, but, you know, you're gonna roll the dice. But speaking of that, we'll keep talking about this, because I do want to let Rob get about his Super Bowl predictions, if you will, and then we'll talk about what's going to happen with Sean Payton and what's happening with the receiver positions in Dallas. So go ahead, Rob, on that.
Yeah, and Dre, you forgot Arthur Siggers also said, some of y'all got to stop being baby saints and get the titty out of your mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
That's exactly what it was. I remember we were talking about that. That was almost 10, 15 years ago. That's crazy, man.
So, wow. Man brought that stuff up, man, and brought back memory.
That was fun time. Fun time.
Wow.
But anyway, as far as my Super Bowl prediction, I think the Eagles are the better team. I think they're more of a complete team. I know Patrick Mahomes is, you know, could go down as one of the best of all time. We still don't know how healthy that ankle is going to be. I mean, he had a solid game this past week, even under, you know, those conditions. But I think as far as a team standpoint, I think the Eagles are more of a complete team. When you look at their secondary, look at what they bring to the table from a pass rush, when you look at their offensive line capabilities, to me, they just seem like a more complete team. Even on the perimeter, other than Kelsey, I mean, the Eagles definitely have the better wide receivers. And their tight end is not bad either. And I just think they're a more complete team. And so if I had to make a prediction today, I'll go with the Eagles on winning it. Although I'm kind of pulling for the Chiefs, but I think the Eagles just are more of a complete team, in my opinion. And they've showed that, you know, all season, right? They've been more consistent. Other than the games when Hurts were out, they've been more consistent. And I know it's Gary's favorite team, too. So I know he's going to be rooting for him and cheering for him. And I'm going to go with the Eagles in this game, just when you look at, you know, what they bring to the table. You look across the board, the Eagles' offensive line. I mean, other than the tight end position and the quarterback position, the Eagles seem to be better at practically every other position. They got more depth at running back, more depth at wide receiver, more depth on offensive, defensive line, better secondary. Linebackers maybe is even, but when you look across the board, they just have more of a complete team, in my opinion. So I will definitely pick the Eagles. As far as Sean Payton and the Broncos go, you know, it's really interesting that he picked the team in the same division with Mahomes and Justin Herbert. And so obviously he's welcoming the challenge. He believes he's got a vision that he can help correct Russell Wilson. Ultimately for the Saints, I'm thankful for the first and second round pick that we get from Denver. But from his standpoint, I think I would have waited another year to see what happened with the Chargers job, to see what may happen with the Cowboys job. I think, you know, he could have possibly waited another year. But, you know, he obviously – Denver ownership has a lot of money. And obviously I know that was enticing. He wanted to make sure he was with
Walmart
a good ownership.
Money.
Yep. He wanted to make sure, you know, he had good ownership, somebody was going to be willing to spend, and he definitely got that. So I think they're going to – obviously they're going to have to spend a lot on free agency this year because they're not going to have the draft capital. So they're going to have to hit the free agent market. But they have some personnel on that team. When you look at the wide receivers that they have on that team, they got some solid defensive players and offensive line too. So they have some personnel. If they can get some core free agents that can come in and help them make a difference, it's going to be up to Russell Wilson and how well he adapts to Sean Payton's coaching style, and if Sean Payton can fix Russell Wilson, because Russell has not been the same player here the last year and a half. And so it's going to be something interesting to watch. And, I mean, but obviously, if I'm looking at that division right now, today, you know, it's still all about the Chiefs. Now, Sean Payton may be a good enough coach that he maybe can coach the Broncos up past the Chargers, but we'll have to see if he's going to be able to do that or not.
He definitely can. I'm with you on the Super Bowl, and the way it might go, it might get out of hand in the second half. And you say that with a team of Patrick Mahomes, but they've already said Nicole Harmon is probably not going to play. You see Juju bust up his knee. So if you're going out there with just, you know, Valdez Scantlin and Kelce, but you got Bradberry and Darius Slay, you can devote all the time, all the double teams in the middle to Travis Kelce because you feel good about Bradberry and Slay on the outside against not even, you know, number ones and number twos on really good teams. You know, there are twos and threes. Kelsey's the one. So you can do a lot of stuff over the middle with him if you can just lock out on the outside, which I think they can because I don't think those dudes that Kansas City has that are healthy or 80% healthy are going to be able to really challenge him like that. Man, that Eagles freaking defense alive, I believe, has 75 sacks this year. Like, that is 75 as a team, you know. Damn. So if Mahomes is still compromised a little bit and you got a team, you saw that fool ready just destroy two quarterbacks single-handedly in that game against San Francisco. And I'm not saying that the Kansas City offensive line is better than that,
they
but my goodness, that's just one guy.
Him.
He literally destroyed them. He put him out the game, both of them. Not two quarterbacks out. So it's like if he can get that kind of pass rush, or at least the attention that he can get that pass rush and frees everybody else up with that ability to the outside, and then you flip it to them on the offensive side, yes, Kansas City, you know, Jones and Clark, but you have the kryptonite to that and a quarterback that can slip out of that and hurt some running. And even if you get double-team the outside on Devontae and A.J., Dallas Goedert is a really good tight end for Philadelphia. And he can control the middle of that field, and that's what the Bengals couldn't do with Hurst. I believe Philadelphia can do with Goddard. So that game might get a little bit out of hand. I'm just going to say it's going to be 35-24 Philadelphia. And as far as Sean Payton, I agree. I used to think that he should have, you know, when I first thought about it, why he didn't wait till next year. And then I look at it, and I've read reports that those Spanos kids are fighting over the Chargers. And that's part of the reason why they won't fire their head coach, because they don't want to pay him dead money and then have to pay another coach. They don't want to pay two coaches while they try to divide up the assets in that fight for the Chargers. So I think Sean Payton might look at that and said, no, I don't want no parts of that. They ain't going to spin right. They upstairs fighting. That's not a good thing for the organization, right? And then for Dallas, it's not the talent. It's that I don't believe that Jerry Jones will let Sean Payton be in charge like Sean Payton wants to be in charge. And I feel like the Broncos with the money and letting him have his way, he's like, you know, whatever. I'll take the challenge on there. I've watched Patrick Mahomes and that team. We can beat them. And we talked about this just to wrap it up. To start this season, Denver last year had a top 10 defense. They only weren't good and didn't make the playoffs was because they didn't have a quarterback. They felt like they went and got Russell Wilson, and then he just debated, of course. But, like, they have talent, to Ralph's point. They had a top 10 defense before this past year. And Russell Wilson just kept putting them in awful positions, and you watched them wear down second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and lose ball games. So if Sean Payton can fix Russell Wilson with the talent of defense they have, and they can stay, even if they don't stay top 10, they say it's not top 13 or 14, you know, they can give Mahomes and Herbert fits. And, you know, I don't trust in the Chargers coaching staff. So I'm with you, Rob. He can coach them past the Chargers. And he can do enough to beat up or, you know, put doubts in the Chiefs' mind. I don't think he can overtake them right now, but, you know, I think that's why he jumped on that job when he looked at it overall and was like, I just don't like what's happening with the Chargers ownership, and I know who Jerry Jones is. He's cool to hang out with on the side, but I don't want to be fighting with him every day in the building about who we're going to draft, who's going to start, what's the game plan going to look like. So that's part of the reason why I think he jumped on this Denver job this year.
Yeah. Anyway, you look at the historical success that our organization has had, too. I mean, they have, historically, they've had some great success. I mean, they won two Super Bowls in the late 90s. They won one with Peyton Manning. So they've had some success as an organization. So you're not just going to, you know, the Detroit Lions, a team that's never been to the Super Bowl. I mean, you're not going to the Houston Texans. And so you're not going to any just Joe Blow, you know, Fresno State or anything like that. So, I mean, you're going to an organization that has.
You got to get off Fresno.
Well, you know, Sean Payton's a smart guy. And so I think he really studied probably a lot of the tape he could get on Russell Wilson. Let's see what we got. Where did that staff go wrong? Where did that team go wrong?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure he's that coach that can make those necessary changes, whether it's completely change up something to do with Russell Wilson and what he's doing wrong or whatever. But I think that, of course, there's a lot of money there to be made. I was also thinking and hoping that he wasn't going to take this job, but he took this job because I believe that he believes he can make a winner out of this team. And he's got enough with a solid defense. If you can create, Sean Payton's a good offensive mind. You can take, you can make a lot out of nothing with a guy like Sean Payton. So I'm sure he can, so let's say the Broncos win, four or five more games this year. Now it's a different story, and Sean Payton's that guy that can create these sort of scenarios. As far as the Super Bowl, I'm picking the Eagles as well, but I don't think it's going to be one of these games. I think Patrick Mahomes can keep his team, even with one receiver, it seems like he can keep his team in it somehow. I don't think it's going to be enough because I believe that by ball control, you're going to limit the amount of possessions that the Chiefs are going to have. They're going to do that by Eagles, by running their quarterback. Hurts is going to run for some. He's going to throw for some. He's going to create those sort of things. It's like he did against San Francisco. And that defense is just ferocious. And they're peaking. And I think that the Mahomes is going to be in a lot of trouble in that. The difference of opinion here, though.
Well, I think the Eagles, on paper, they look better than the Chiefs. But then, you're talking about the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, you have 2 weeks in between. The week before the Super Bowl, you're talking to the media all week. You're out of your routine. And then game time, it's almost like it's a shorter game because first half, you're feeling out. It's a lot of tension. You're not playing a regular game. So, if it's a shorter game, you're talking about Mahomes can take over. I think it will be a lot closer than what you guys may think. And, last season against the Bengals, Mahomes, it looks like they were done. And then, he managed to just take over. So I think they have a shot. So I'm not picking against the Chiefs.
So what do you think the score is going to be? Give us a score.
27-24 Chiefs.
27-24 Chiefs.
Hmm.
I'm going to go 31-24 Eagles.
Wow. Wow. All right. I'm laughing.
I'm going to go
27-20
Eagles.
See, I'm going to go. I'm picking you've made a good compelling argument, Roman, but it's tough, right? Because you're looking at the matchups. And let me be the first to say, I'm not
going to say what you're wrong.
What? What'd you say?
I said you wanted to say, but you're wrong. I just messed with you. Go ahead, man.
Sean Payton piece, one thing about Sean Payton, the dude don't lack confidence. He's confident and a little bit of cockiness, too. So he definitely does not lack confidence. So he's definitely going into this thing believing that he can turn this team into a perennial winner again. He's that kind of dude with that kind of mentality. So, we'll see, how it works out. But he definitely doesn't lack confidence, that's for sure.
Yeah, what I was just going to say was just I was going to pour salt in the wound. I was going to give you some props, JQ. I was going to say actually the better matchup would have been the Bengals versus the Eagles. That would have been definitely a more of an interesting game.
That's what I saw from my offensive line. Shit, they can't handle that Kansas City defensive line. They got no chance against the Philadelphia defensive line.
It was one game, JQ. You're going to be all right. It's going to be one game, man. It's going to be one game, man.
I'm just trying to be an objective fan.
Yeah, But that would have been
the offense versus the defense, you know what I'm trying to say, too.
But I'm saying that would have been a good game to see, like Jamar Chase and, you know, definitely more of the star power. Not that Patrick Mahomes is not star power, but it's a different offense, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. Too,
it's
as far
it's
as, you know,
spread among multiple players where it's really centered around, you know, Patrick and Travis Kelce.
And Travis Kelce, right. So, again, and I'm not trying to say that from that perspective, too. So, you know, looking at it, you know, because I'm torn because, you know, Marlon making a point. It's like, man, you know, you don't want to count out, you know, everyone, the whole NFL is like all about Patrick Mahomes. But then you look at kind of what's happening with the Eagles. I mean, they have a ferocious defense, like you said, 75 sacks. That's crazy. And then, again, Patrick Mahomes, he does have some time to get healed, but we don't know how healthy he is, right? So, again, it's a situation, too, where he's going to make some plays. You know, again, we're not gonna talk crap about the Kansas City defense because Chris Jones played out of his mind, too. So it's just you're looking at some situations, too, where are they going to run the ball? Like you said, they have a lot of depth, as Rob mentioned earlier, too. So is it a war of attrition? We're going to wear down the Chiefs, wear down and make Patrick Mahomes beat us. You know, that's where that we're worried about, too. So, you know, unless Pacheco has an amazing – unless they have a unique game plan, this could go wrong for the Chiefs, too. So right now – I mean, I'm picking the Eagles 34-27 just because I just think it's going to be, like I said, I agree it's going to be close. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs can pull it off too. But that's where I'm at as far as that too. So talk about that. We're talking about, you know, Sean Payton. He's in that division. I think we mentioned it. He's thinking that, you know, I got to only contend with you know, the Chiefs right now. Maybe there's some crap with the Chargers, you know, with some internal stuff. Obviously, we like Justin Herbert and what he's doing too. But like you said, Rob, he does have a lot of confidence, and they did have a top 10 defense last year. So if he can just tweak anything that's happening with Russell Wilson, give him some confidence, he's going to create some situations where I think he'll put Russell in some good situations because he had obviously Drew Brees, not comparing those two, but you have a quarterback and I can kind of scheme some things too. So that's something that I think he saw that as an easier opportunity, as you said, Rob, too, as well. Let's keep this going here.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what who he's going to put on his staff, too. That's another thing I want to, you know, kind of see how that shakes out, too. So that would be interesting, too.
Absolutely. Let's
it'll be a solid staff.
Hopefully we'll – I want to talk briefly about I want to get to your mock draft, Rob, so we can get that, and then we'll talk about what's going to happen with the 49ers on the hunt, too. So kind of get to the mock draft. And I know it was a terrible East-West game here right now, too, the game here. But, again, we'll talk about that later as far as anyone making an impact. But talk about the mock draft again, Robin. We'll go from there.
All right. Latest first-round mock draft is posted on our Talking Sports page. I got Jalen Carter, defensive tackle from Georgia, going number one overall. He's joking, just picking up dudes, man, left and right, man. They got him going number one. Probably the most talented player in this draft. Bryce Young, I'm moving him back into the number two spot. You know, one thing the scouts are, you know, as they do more of a deep dive into, you know, Young and things of that nature, one of the things that they like here is the fact that he had a lot of success and he didn't really have the weapons that Tua and Mac Jones had at Alabama, too, in his accuracy. Obviously, there's still some concern about his size, but I'm moving him back up to the number two spot. Will Anderson, I got him going number three to Arizona. I got C.J. Stroud going number four to the Colts. And I got Will Levis going number five to Seattle. So it's no guarantee that Geno Smith is going to sign back with Seattle. I think it would be crazy if Seattle does not re-sign him. But, hey, we'll take him in New Orleans. We'll give him a shot. But I got, as of right now, I got Will Levis to Seattle at number five. Tyree Wilson, man, you watch this guy. I know a lot of us probably didn't watch Texas Tech during the season, but if you look at a lot of his clips and film, a dude lives in the backfield. Huh?
I said for what?
Said for what?
Go ahead.
I'm
what?
With you.
No, damn, Texas
down,
Tech.
What?
You had to be a scout to want to watch him, just to watch Tyree Wilson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it had to be only the dude lived in the backfield. Still a little bit raw. Still can show a little bit more improvement in his techniques, but his athleticism, man, is freakish. And he, like I said, he lived in other teams' backfield, both in the run and the pass game. Miles Murphy, Clemson, got him going number seven in Las Vegas. Got Atlanta taking Joey Porter Jr., big physical athletic corner from Penn State. Got him going number eight. Anthony Richardson, quarterback, Florida, got him going to Carolina. Peter Skoronski, offensive tackle from Philadelphia, from Northwestern, going to Philadelphia at the number 10 spot. Obviously, Philadelphia got a few guys on that line. They want to that's up in age and start preparing for the future there. I got Tennessee taking Christian Gonzalez, a letter cornerback from Oregon, another freakish athlete. Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle, Ohio State. They got him going to Houston. Getting the offensive lineman to protect whichever quarterback that they draft. Jordan Addison, wide receiver, USC. Got him going to the Jets. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Green Bay needs a weapon. Finally got him taking a wide receiver, Quentin Johnson from TCU at number 15. They may not have Aaron Rodgers, but they still go out and get them a quarterback here. And let's see. I'm going to skip around a little bit. I got Khalil Ringo, cornerback from Georgia, going to the Chargers at 22. Michael Mayer, tight end, Notre Dame, going to Minnesota. I got Darnell Washington, tight end from Georgia, going to Dallas to give back another weapon. May not be a receiver, but he gives another weapon. And the unique thing about Darnell Washington, the kid's 6'7", 270 pounds. He's not only a receiving tight end, but he's one of the best blocking tight ends in this draft, too. So you're getting a little bit of both with Darnell Washington. And he's 6'7", 270 pounds. Nolan Smith, edge rusher from Georgia. I got him going to Buffalo. Obviously, we don't know if Von Miller is going to be ready to play at the season. Nolan Smith is a little small. He's about 230-something pounds. He's probably going to put him out at least another 10 to 15 pounds on. But he's a great pass rusher off the edge here. Cincinnati, I got him going with Osiris Torrance, offensive guard from Florida. Cincinnati can't have enough offensive linemen right now. And Osiris, he was dominant with Louisiana Raging Cajuns. He transferred to Florida, and he was dominant in the SEC. So I think he's got a good track record there. I think he'll be a plug-and-play kind of guy at the guard position, Osiris Torrance from Florida. I got my Saints. Saints got a first-round pick now, baby. We're back in the game. Jalen Hyatt, got to take a wide receiver from Tennessee. Obviously, Jarvis Landry, I'm pretty sure, won't be back. Michael Thomas hadn't played in 15 years. We look to have a young receiving core with Chris Olave here. Justin Hyatt, wide receiver from Tennessee. Nice size, nice speed. Had a big year for Tennessee. And then a surprise for the Saints, Rashid Shaheed, undrafted rookie from San Diego State last year, had a big season for the Saints, and otherwise, which was a down year for the Saints. So you put together a nice receiving core there.
Well, Who did you have the Raiders taken?
I have the Raiders taking Miles Murphy, edge rusher from Clemson, at number 7.
There you go. I will say this. Do you think, Rob, that, like, a team is going to trade up to number one? Like, Carolina, let's say that I trade all my picks to get that number one pick or something like that. Do you think it's a good situation, you know?
I think Carolina could trade up to number one. I think even Houston could trade up from number two to number one just to make sure they get the guy that they want. I can see Indianapolis trading up to number one as well. So, I think that's a really good point. I think – you know, there's a very good chance of one of those teams to try to go up to number one and get the quarterback that they want. Especially if one guy separates himself from the other.
Yeah, good stuff.
There you go,
Rob.
You stop talking about my homeboy.
Hey, I have a Saints jersey. We still ain't played in 15 years.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy the Saints jersey, but I did just go pick up the Buckeye one.
Yeah, I got Michael Thomas Saints jersey.
Man, if the Jets get Addison, I think you had the Jets take Addison to pair with Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's silly. Hey,
just need a quarterback.
Who
did
you have Baltimore take?
Who's gonna throw the ball?
Yeah, they're
I got Baltimore taking Trenton Simpson, linebacker from Clemson.
Jesus, okay. Because I've read a couple when they had them going to get a Jigba from Ohio State. I said, come on, man, don't do that. Don't do that.
Hey,
okay,
Rob,
yeah,
good stuff on that. say really quickly, was it DeJuan? Who's that one guy, the 6'7 guy, the real huge guy from Ohio State? What's his name? DeJuan Jones? DeJuan James?
DeJuan Jones.
What?
He's huge.
That dude is massive. Yes. Oh, my God. So he's a second-round pick, right? You got to go in second round, Rob. I didn't get just a second round.
Second round, yeah.
But, man, that's a whoo. That guy, man, I'm just waiting for that dude.
I got my first 3-round mock draft coming out here really soon. Hopefully we'll have it ready by next week's show.
Who did you have the Cowboys taking, Rob?
Darnell Washington, tight end from Georgia.
Good stuff. You happy about that, Gary? Is that good?
You know, I'm happy with that. Thank you very much for all your hard work, Rob.
This time I was sincere, and you guys laughed.
So this time he was sincere.
Face doesn't say that you're happy. You're like,
this time.
Am I happy with that pick?
This time I heard that.
We all can't have Cooper Rush on our team. You know, maybe are you okay, Gary? I mean, you know, are you just dealing with the loss of Kellen Moore? Or, you know, anything we need to like send you some bouquet of flowers or something like that? You know,
I'm a little worried about the head coach calling the plays when he has a hard enough time calling timeouts and managing other parts of his game. And then totally disgusted that Peyton has made a move. But Dan Quinn's still there, so I'm happy with that.
Stop it. You know that Sean Payton had a control that he wanted to have. You know that's not going to happen. He can't do it.
Well,
he won't let
now.
It happen.
Not now.
Yeah.
I will say
John
this.
Payton is a control
I
freak.
This. I will say this, that if anyone could have got what they wanted out of the Cowboys as far as that, it would have been a guy like Sean Payton with his moxie, with his, you know, his background and what he's accomplished as a coach. If anyone could get Jerry to back away from that as close as they are, it would be that guy. That's what I'm disappointed about.
Yeah, but the thing about Jerry is that he built this team through the draft. He doesn't like to go. He likes to say, hey, man, I drafted this dude. He's homegrown. The draft capital he would have had to go give to New Orleans in the NFC one,
yeah,
he didn't want to do for that.
That hasn't been the case with Jerry for several years. If you have anyone to either blame or credit, it's really his son.
Okay.
That happened way back with that whole Manziel thing, because Jerry was hot on Johnny Manziel. He wanted Manziel. And Steven said, we're not taking Manziel. We are not taking Manziel. And he got the final say on that.
That's
gonna
have to be
and he's had
decision.
The final say since.
You know one thing
okay.
You know, a lot of people probably are not looking at here. When you look at Mike McCarthy versus Sean Payton, and I know Mike McCarthy's had some really bonehead decision-making, especially when it comes to managing the clock here over the last few years. It seems like he has at least one or two a season. But when you look at Sean Payton's record versus Mike McCarthy's record, and then you look at what each coach has accomplished, they're very similar. And you could really make a case that Sean Payton – as good a coach as he is, he underachieved in New Orleans. He only won one Super Bowl with Drew Brees. And so Mike McCarthy has won Super Bowl.
Same thing.
You look how many times both of them have gone to the playoffs and lost in the divisional round. You know, Sean Payton did lose a couple of times in the NFC Championship game. And so you look, you know, their track record is practically the same. And I think if you really do a deep dive on that, Jerry Jones is like, okay, do I just stick with the guy I have or go hire another guy who loses in the division round of the playoffs?
Wow. Gary's so happy.
You're not wrong.
He's still going to have Dak. He still would have Dak, so that could very well be.
Yeah. Your Raiders squad?
Say what?
The Raiders? Marlins squad, the Raiders.
Benny, do you want to say about this?
You know, I think Jerry Jones is the modern Al Davis. That's what I'm going to say. I mean, he's basically doing what Al Davis did back then. I mean, trying to control everything, just getting too involved, you know, and he thinks he owns the NFL. I mean, he's the modern Al Davis.
He does.
Yeah.
And Al Davis did. Al Davis proved that when the NFL said, oh, you're not moving your team out of Oakland. And he said, well, it's my football team. Watch me. Just what happened, he did. He moved. So.
Yeah, but he also won a lot more than what Jerry Jones has won.
No, they haven't.
Al Davis?
Al Davis. He won two.
How many did Jerry Jones win?
Three.
Did he?
Sorry.
Oh,
no,
man.
It just felt like they won a lot more because they actually won a lot more in the playoffs.
So let's kind of talk
about
what's going on here. So I'm going to talk about
two girls.
Oh gosh! So let's kind of switch gears here and let's talk about. Finally, we've got into time here to talk about what's going on with the 49ers here. I know to Gary's excitement. Here, you know, the what happened to the 49ers is kind of crazy. They were down to their four-string quarterback. I do want to make 2 points because I do hope, based upon what happened, that the NFL does go back to hopefully looking at that fourth quarterback, you know, kind of adding that just in case, because I think that's going to be great. That's just, you know, kind of selfishly from my perspective, too, because you just never know if you need four quarterbacks just to kind of, you know, just to have that on your squad. For the 49ers, right, the quarterback is probably going to be Trey Lance because we're not sure what's going to happen with the surgery with Brock Purdy because, again, Brock played his ass off injury. And I think that was a similar injury that Ben Roethlisberger had. I know Jake doesn't care, but he had the same injury later in his career. And he was never the same quarterback, especially when you have to throw the ball. So, you know, again, Brock didn't have the strongest arm, but he had a very accurate arm. But we're not sure. It's going to take probably, obviously, a year for him to recover from that or whatever that time frame is. So, again, you gave up, what, like three number one draft picks to get Trey. One of those picks turned out to be Micah Parsons, ironically. But that just shows you that you – and I know the 49ers may not be confident in him, but you got to give him an opportunity to make that start. I don't know if the quarterback's on the roster if he doesn't do that well right now because right now you got to get a veteran to kind of come in there. Not sure who that is. But they have to give Trey the opportunity. I think Robbie mentioned that last week as far as, you know, you gave up all this stuff for this guy. You know, you can't just throw him out in the backfield. You're going to give him every opportunity. You're going to basically say, this is your team. We know Josh Johnson's not the answer, clearly, or if you put some time to invest in him. So that's what I'm thinking what's happening with the 49ers right now. So yeah.
Well, Trey he's the guy. They gave up way too much.
Yep.
You know, they got way too much invested in him. So he's going to be the guy
right.
going in. But as Brock Purdy gets healthy, gets back, he'll be on a short leash. Trey Lance will be on a short leash because I'll tell you what, Brock Purdy did a fantastic job with that team. Now, in that particular offense, you're not asked a lot, but what he accomplished was really good. I mean, the ball control.
He came in and did a Cooper Rush.
The short passes that they had, you know, these sort of things. This works in favor of someone coming in like a Brock Purdy and being smart enough to pick up on the offense and be ready to go he was ready to go right away. You know, my hat's off to him for that. But they'll have Trey Lance, and then they'll have Brock Purdy. And then if he messes up at all, they will bring in Brock Purdy because, you know, they're about the winning. You know, Shanahan is, and Jimmy G is going to be gone. So it's going to be those two guys, one and two. And I think I think Trey Lance will be on a short leash.
Well, the thing about Brock Purdy, though, the last thing I read is that he might, unless you have to have Tommy John. If he has to have Tommy John, he's done.
Yeah.
For next year, period.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't have
so
that threat to him.
He won't be there at all.
He won't be there at all. So I also read that Trey Lance has told reporters he's got about two or three more weeks before he feels like he's back to 100%, that he was going to be ready to rock and roll for the OTAs. So I say that to piggyback on what you guys have said, is that he's going to get every opportunity not to succeed.
I really wonder with the new, you know, with the news of if he has to have Brock Purdy, that is, Tommy John surgery, do Garoppolo and them finally come back together again? And I know that they don't want to do that, but if you look around the carousel, Geno still fancies himself now a starter after what he's done in Seattle. So he's not going to want to come be the backup for Trey Lance. I hope that he slips up so he can win. So who's out there that is going to want to come and feel like they are just going to be a number two to Trey Lance's, right? So it's like you're going to go get you a veteran arm, but is it Marcus Mariota? Like, yeah, he can run it, the ball, but you're not confident him throwing the ball. But I'm thinking you're looking at that level of quarterback to come in because everybody's saying the same thing. They're going to give Trey Lance one, two, three, four chances to prove how bad he is because they gave up so much to get him. So
yeah.
Jacksonville's in a tough spot. Trey Lance, you know, it's crazy because he had lost that job. Brock Purdy goes to the Super Bowl and messes around and wins. I don't know if they don't shop Trey Lance and say, hey, let's see if we get some of this back because this dude just showed us. I can't send him back on the bench now and keep him on this roster. Because Trey Lance can't make a mistake, right? He can't make a mistake because they're like, Brock Purdy would have done that. So what do you do to Trey Lance's confidence if he's sitting over there and that happens, right? So the piece of that is now that he's hurt, Trey Lance is like, whoof, shit, got my job back. But now you got to live up to that hype, right? Because everybody's like, you're on start. So they gave up all that stuff. Nobody wants to come there because they gave up all that stuff to get you. So now he went from, I got it back, to, damn, did I really want it back in these circumstances? Because I'm going to ball out.
Yeah.
Or I'm a failure. Because Brock Purdy just took the same team, and he was on it. He might not have, I don't know if they would have won or not, but he made it to the NFC Championship game with the same team, and I'm quarterbacking now.
We got Naj on. I'm sorry, Naj. I want to get you on too, Naj. I apologize, man. But maybe we have like abbreviated OT portion. You good, Naj, by the way?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How y'all doing, man?
What's up, bro?
I saw him. I was like, he's been on for two minutes. Up, I was like, bouncing around the internet, man. But yeah, what?
No, just
we're kind of talking
man.
About.
I
yeah,
don't want to give JQ too much grief, man. So I was respectful coming in. Tardy, you know what I'm saying? That was the plan.
Well, it's Thursday now, you know, so I've gotten over it. I've been through my grief, bro.
Oh, okay.
Now Tuesday, maybe different conversation. Thursday, it's like, okay.
Were we talking junk to you? Were we saying that or no? We weren't talking any junk to you, though, right, JQ? We weren't really doing that to you.
No, I said if we lose, I was probably going to show up later, like 11:18 or 11:20. That's what Naj is talking about. But I'm sorry.
Hey, but you know what? Now that Naj is on the line, Naj and I, our predictions for the Super Bowl were the correct ones. So you guys owe Naj and I an apology. We're waiting.
Big facts.
I'm going to hold y'all jack.
We went against the public hive mind that told us that it was time for Kansas City to die. We said, no, that dude's the best in the world, and they're going to find a way to get it done. So, you know, salute to us on that pick, man. Not to, you know, brag.
Hey, we owe y'all a congratulations.
To you guys.
That's all we owe you.
Rob, 90 seconds.
Not an apology.
Oh, okay.
Big fact. But, no, shout out to what y'all just said, though, man. Trey Lance, hey, man, better run hard next year. I mean, run harder than you've ever seen. Because,
yeah. Get him healthy. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show on tonight. Thank you all for tuning in. We're going to have a brief OT portion for you. You can click on the same link to get the rest of the show. We had a great time talking football with you all. Next week, I believe we're going to be back to our regularly scheduled night of Tuesday night. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, Philadelphia. We want to hear from you all. Send us some cheesecakes, too. Cheese steaks, I should say, while you're at it. Chicago, New Orleans, Central Time Zone. It's going to be 10 p.m. Central. Kansas City, that goes for you, too. Send us some barbecue, 10 p.m. Central. Denver, 9 p.m. Fresno, 8 p.m. We want to hear from y'all. Good night, people.
Yeah, in short answer, yes, Joe Burrow is getting the extension this offseason. They got to give him the money to make the cap space work out for everybody else. So to answer that next topic, they damn sure better do it because they got to keep some more free agents this year and next year. So you got to get his number to where it's going to be so you can then work around it. You gotta leave Fresno alone, bro. You gotta go to a break.
I will give JQ some credit too, because last week JQ, we had said that we all think the Bengals except for obviously Najee and for Gary. And JQ was like, I don't know. You get a full head and they talk about Burrowhead, and he's like, I don't know, we better slow your roll. We're all like, yeah, you know, then what happened? You know, next thing you know, we were thinking that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is hurt, and you know, and it's shit, you know. Now granted, there's some bad calls that made things very you know, but still it was one of those games you're like, damn, you know, it was a situation where you know, the Chiefs took that shit seriously, you know. Like, man, he kept crying a Burrowhead, okay, all right, we got you, you know.
Oh, it was mad. They was mad, man. And I told you, I said, man, just let sleeping dogs fly. Go in there, be quiet, and play ball, and then talk. Don't talk before you do it. That's how you got last year. You was ready, they wasn't, you didn't say nothing. But then this year you were going to get the big head and start talking junk, and it bit him. So, you know, the thing about it is the coaching staff should have their full attention. I told y'all to relax. Let's go back here and work. Let's not talk about it. Let's just be about it. Proof is in the pudding now.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce
I think we all. Go ahead, Rob.
He went off.
Burrowhead my ass. What did you say about the Mayor?
Yeah.
He was like, whoop.
They brought that on themselves, and you can't say nothing but take it. It was our mayor and his dumb ass with the team talking that junk, and they got to hand it to him. You got to look and learn that, hey, just chill out and go play ball.
And look, there were some calls that didn't go their way, like people could bring that up, but we also had a wide receiver room of Sky Moore, MVS, and some dude named Kemp, not Sean Kemp. Not the great Matt Kemp. Like, I don't know who that dude was, but he caught a pass. Like, it was real bad for the Chiefs as far as what they had to go with. And my respect for Burrow actually went up during this game, because this was a classic Aaron Rodgers game where you say, okay, things haven't gone our way. I'm not going to take any chances. I'll just keep checking him down and punting. No, Burrow went for it. He went for the game. He went for the Super Bowl. Now, of course, two of those were picks, but that's the point. If you've got a great quarterback, you want them to be able to take those risks and try to push the ball down the field in situations where you know one of those scores would have turned the game. So I got more respect for Burrow after watching this, but still, that dude Mahomes on a bad ankle, like, come on, man. People got to stop trying to compare him to other people, man. We ain't seen this before. That dude's an alien.
Yeah,
we watched Dan Orlovsky brag about Joe Burrow being the best quarterback in the league all week too. And the combination of the Burrowhead start,
Ooh,
and go over either. But Cincinnati had a chance; they were right in that game. And you know, I mean, the referees, they made the right call on a personal foul penalty at the end of the game. Under the current rules, they made the right call. But that's not a 15-yard penalty. The NFL's got to change that.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's running full speed trying to make a play. I mean, it's almost impossible for him to pull up right there. They got to go. They got to look at changing that rule to a possible. It's going to be – I don't know how you figure out how to do that, like you do with punts, running in the kicker versus roughing the kicker. But that shouldn't be a 15-yard penalty. I'm sorry.
And the NFL has come out and said they missed the holding call that was part of the flushing him out. That they've already said that they missed the holding call. But I'm not going to put it on the officials. They didn't help us, but you know that you've got to go into Kansas City and take it. Don't leave it to chance, right? They had their own opportunities. They had the ball in their hands. You know, when he got the ball back at the 8-yard line with a chance to go down and kick a field goal to win it again, I was like, okay, here we go. And he got sacked on third and eight. He got a punt to touch from Mahomes. And that's what happened. Like, they've had the opportunities in that game. The refs didn't help him, but you know the refs wasn't going to help you on the road. Kansas City against Patrick Mahomes, so don't count them. It is what it is.
Yeah, and there was a lot of good gamesmanship. Like Andy figuring out a way to run those two tight end sets to keep the little slot corner off the field. Whoever that guy, I can't think of his name for Cincinnati. He's really good. Yeah, right, to keep him off the field for certain plays. Like, things like that matter because you're limiting that guy's snaps who's effective. Pacheco. Man, that kid runs hard. He had that burst. And, man, he was definitely a difference maker because Mahomes needed a lot of yak yards because he wasn't really, you know, going to make the plays because there's only so much separation with the guys he had on the field. Like, those guys aren't getting open. And once Cincinnati said, all right, no more Kelce, What were they going to do?
What's happening with Checo? He almost got Tony Romo fired.
Hey, Nas, this is Gary. I want to know, what's your pick for the Super Bowl? Give me your Super Bowl pick and score.
I would need to know the drugs that they're putting in Pat Mahomes' ankle. I need to see the size of the needle. I need a horse racing needle. Like, if I see a horse racing needle, okay, they got a shot. But otherwise, this may be a case of, yeah, you got to a Super Bowl, but if he can't move and your skill group is that, yeah, good luck. You know, Travis Kelce him to death? Like, come on, man. If Mahomes is not healthy, dude, I don't see this being competitive.
Yeah, I think I heard somebody else say that.
JQ.
Give me a score.
I got to wait for some late-breaking news, man. I got to hear – somebody got to give me some Adam Schefter tweet or something to say, oh, Pat Mahomes was in here dancing. Like, the ankle is fine. Like, I need something, bro, because I – just kicking this straight up, I don't know.
So you don't want to commit to anyone. Okay. All right.
All right. Well, if y'all go force my hand, then I'll take Philly, man.
Well, but almost consensus. I think we all picked Philly.
No, I think Marlon picked the Chiefs. You know, so good call. We got a new call over here on the call too, Naj. Hey, really quickly, so I want to talk about a couple things.
A Raider fan picking the Chiefs.
Spend a lot of time. that's hilarious.
That's wow. Al Davis would tell him from the grave, "You're not a Raider."
They move, so it doesn't count. That's what Marlon's probably thinking. I do want to talk about an interesting situation here, and I'm going to get your thoughts. Because we talked about something that happened here in Georgia, but it does kind of affect what's happening with the Senior Bowl. And I know, Rob, you're going to talk about some players to watch. But obviously, you heard about Stetson Bennett. He got for public intoxication in Texas. And number one, if he was in Georgia, shit wouldn't happen. They'd be like, "Stetson, get your ass home," whatever. But he was in Texas, number one. And there was a situation where, obviously, Jim Nagy, the executive director of Senior Bowl, was kind of throwing shade. He's like, "Yo, if he was here at Senior Bowl in Mobile, he wouldn't even be in there." But if you're Stetson, you're probably thinking, "Hey, I don't need to go to the Senior Bowl, even if I am, you know, 55 years old, because, you know, my work has been, you know, it's proven this." But he didn't help himself, right? Because you're probably thinking, "Bro, here's an opportunity. It's more than just showing up and playing. It's you meeting all the NFL teams, showing what you can do." So what do you think about the situation, Rob? Do you think it's a good situation, a bad situation? You know, because right now, you know, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't do anything. Look, he was, you know, he was drunk, right? But again, it does call into question his decision-making, right? Because, bruh, this is the wrong time for you to be kind of drinking and stuff like that. I don't care how much you celebrate, but that's an asshole move, man. So, you know, what?
Shit.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do on this one?
I'm just being – this is what I heard. Go ahead.
I'm going to be John Stockton, and I'm going to pass the ball to Naj and let him answer this.
See, now he set me up to be the bad guy, and I'm going to be the bad guy. Because I'm going to tell you point blank.
I knew you were going to do it. That's why I wanted you to do it.
We are talking about football. I once saw a play where Tony Romo's fullback missed the pass protection, and Tony Romo had a broken clavicle for the hit that came after. This is a violent game, and this idea that we're going to police it like corporate spaces. Oh, this guy got drunk, and therefore he should not be drafted. Low character. Get him out of here. Remember that Falcon filter? You know what that Falcon filter did? It filtered the Falcons from getting better players because we had to draft all these choir boys and say, "Well, this guy didn't. He never got in trouble. He was a good guy." Man, get out of here with that stuff. The Ivy League and every Christian school in America has football players. You are open to draft them. Otherwise, we drafting talent, man. So with Stetson Bennett, he's a borderline guy. This didn't matter. I think he didn't go to that Senior Bowl because it's like, hey, man, why give them reasons to poke more holes in my game? My game is my game. If you're going to draft me, go ahead. But I plan on making a roster as a free agent. Like, that's probably his plan anyway. So, I mean, it is what it is. I didn't think he was a good player anyway, so I just don't make me think no less of him. This is just typical NFL damn near off-season nonsense. That's how I look at these things.
That dude is getting drafted?
You know what? You might have been right until Brock Purdy happened. And then Brock Purdy gets taken the last pick in the last round of the draft. And of course, he went to a loaded team. Don't get me wrong, but he didn't F it up. And he got them to the NFC Championship game. You don't know what it would have been if he doesn't get hurt. So set the bench as soon as I do some candy, some flowers, a stripper, something. Whoa, what's happening down there? Like, you help me out. But if I'm Stetson Bennett and I'm 25 years old and we just won back-to-back championships and I'm out in Dallas with my homeboys throwing them to the receivers and whatnot, F Mobile on this Senior Bowl, put my tape on. I got two chips, baby, two of them. And part of that is why I was breaking fools' ankles, rolling out the pocket, making them look stupid. And then, yes, I had time on the outside, but I still had to give them the ball. What more do I need to do for y'all? Who else is winning back-to-back titles? And like, I wasn't just out there and just running the ball 30 times. Like, I was making plays with my feet, with my arm. Dude, if you don't want to draft me, that's fine. Listen, he might not ever be a Super Bowl winner. I'm not saying he's going to be. But I would love to have Stetson Bennett be on my team with his competitiveness and be going and giving it to the first, you know, to the first-string dudes when he's out there, the second-string dudes, because he's going to make them better. He's going to bring that fire. The coaches are going to love him. And if your starting quarterback is out there bullshitting and Stetson is out there balling and you might have to put him in for a spot start to prove a point, then prove a point. I love Stetson Bennett. I hate Georgia, but I love Stetson Bennett's moxie. I'm 25, bro. I'm not 20 years old. I'm 25 years old. Yeah, I went to Dallas and got drunk. Who cares? You know what I did?
That's right.
1-2 chips.
Who cares? Who cares?
I totally agree. He's still going to be drafted. He's going to be somewhere between the third and the sixth round pick. I know it's a pretty big gap. Obviously, we get closer to the draft here. But, no, this is not going to hurt him for various reasons. But, yeah, he's still going to be drafted between the third and the sixth round in this draft.
He's going to work hard. He's going to carry a clipboard. But he'll be ready if he has to get in, come into the game.
And he has the complexion for the protection. Like point blank period, he is Ken Dorsey and all these other guys we see who are really
he is better than Ken Dorsey.
Play on loaded teams, and eventually they get that clipboard and that baseball cap. They talk that talk in the meetings. The coaches like them, and before you know it, they get an OC job. He's going to go from QB coach to OC job, and 20 years from now, Ken Dorsey will be up in that booth until he can hustle his way onto the sideline as a head coach. But, yeah, he's going to be an NFL coach, man.
I can't believe you trashed Stetson Bennett with Ken Dorsey. Come on, Naj. He is way better than Ken Dorsey ever was, bro.
Same guy. With a whole bunch of talent. Same guy.
This reminds me of the argument. That's funny.
He's better than Ken Dorsey.
Argument.
And I'm a Hurricane fan.
Between
he's
Rob
better
and
than
JQ.
Ken Dorsey. Way better.
Right.
Funny.
Y'all go read Ken Dorsey's draft evaluation when he came out. Everybody loved him because he was such a good guy and he's a winner and all that other gritty, intangible stuff. He got drafted, and you see what happened. He's an OC now.
Like, you've never seen Ken Dorsey break out the pocket and break somebody's ankles. He break his own ankles before he can break a tackle. Come on, Nas. You've seen Stetson Bennett get outside the pocket and make dudes look bad in open space. I've never, ever in this lifetime seen Ken Dorsey break the pocket and do nothing but slide or throw it out of bounds. Never.
Yeah, Ken Dorsey, at 22 years old, looked as slow as Tom Brady at 45.
Yes.
This is hilarious.
I can't wait till y'all see Stetson Bennett wearing an RPO in the NFL. Man, ain't nobody worried about him running in the NFL. He could do it at Georgia because they was worried about everything else. Let him try to run the NFL and see what happens.
It depends on where he go. He can't go to a bad team and do that shit, but if he goes to a good team that's got weapons, then in the third or fifth round, he might go to anybody.
All right. All I'm saying is this reminds me of the argument between Rob and JQ. Rob and JQ about Chet Holmgren or whatever. This is what this reminds me of because they're both kind of – one guy's going to be superstar, one guy – you know, you guys are going back and forth pretty hard about this. And Chet Holmgren got hurt.
So far, JQ
we'll won
that argument. I'll give him credit on that one.
We'll see what happens with
I told you about Pantera.
One, to the league. number two, Ray gets drafted, and then Ippy's going to be holding the clipboard. So, Naj, we're going to have to hold you to see what's going on, bro. You may got a couple months. You've been pretty consistent.
Oh, I'm terrified. Destin's in it. Just going run.
I'm not
terrified.
No. I know you can care less. I'm just saying it's going to be interesting because this is like one of those, we don't know. It's a crapshoot, man. The draft is a crapshoot. We don't know.
No, the draft.
I love
it,
man. You're terrified.
But that third-string quarterback to OC pipeline is real. And a part of it is personality, man. Like, if you one of them, guys, you order the right food, you get the right drink, you know how to talk to coaches in the meetings, man, dude, you can be there. Guys, shout out to the McNown family. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got a way of relating to folks so they can keep getting them gigs.
Not the McNown.
Hey, Josh Johnson is probably the nicest guy in the NFL. Josh Johnson get along with anybody. You put Josh Johnson in a room full of strangers, somehow he had him signing up for damn Bitcoin or something. Like, dude, people just rock with him. That's how, like, dude, we have never seen a terrible quarterback that is black last that long in the NFL. Josh Johnson is a people person. I don't know how he pulled that off.
Oh man, Josh Dobbs! I see that joke. Where's that cut? That guy's been off the bench. I'm like, where did he come from? I'm telling people, he plays in Tennessee. Oh man, there's the resurgence of the black quarterback. Oh man, hey, I'm just happy that a black quarterback won Super Bowl, man. That's all that matters, man. So I'm excited, man. At least one of them won.
First time in history. All
right, you guys talk about
two black quarterbacks in the Super Bowl.
Guess where I'll be next show. Albuquerque, baby.
Albuquerque.
Are you in the
hot air balloon festival?
We'll be doing. I'm gonna try and do a hot air balloon ride. Podcast from a hot air balloon ride. No, I won't do that.
Oh Jesus! I'm gonna say please don't do that.
I am gonna do a hot air balloon ride.
I would say
no podcasting because you might be
in America. I don't know what color dress I'm gonna wear. I'll have to figure that out. But
Come on, man. You know what it's going to be like? You remember when Buddy proposed to Hillary on the Fresh Prince, and they was watching on TV. He was trying to do all the thing, and he jumped out and said, "Where are you, baby?" And hit the ground, and he died. That's going to be Gary Chance. I just tried to podcast from the hot air balloon.
She said, "Trevor."
There you go. Yes. Yes, Dodge.
Hillary took me back.
Boy, y'all crazy.
I had a small crush on Hillary. I'm not going to lie. I was like, Hillary, okay. I was one of them,
Bel-Air series. Second season comes out later this month in Bel-Air.
Andre had a strong crush on me? Nice.
No!
Oh, my goodness.
Yo, make my wife wake up, man. Come on, man. I don't wake her up, man. Fair enough, man. No. All right, well, anything else, Rob, before we wrap this up?
I ain't know y'all roll like that, man.
Hey, Andre, don't say it too loud because JQ will get pissed.
Gary, man, you gotta get off that wine, boy. You gotta stay off that vino. I'm gonna need you to drink some water.
Yeah. The thing I wanted to add was y'all were talking earlier about the quarterback situation because it was Trey Lance and all that. With Brady retiring, that's one more chess piece off the board. Yo, man, y'all realize Geno Smith is about to get about $80 million? He's about to get a 3-year deal.
Where's he going?
He might get more than
that. You think more? You think more? It's going to be something like
that,
though, right? 3 years, mm-hmm. 80 to, 90, something like that. He's going to get a crazy deal, man.
Be a GM. There's no way I've seen who?
Have you seen Kirk Cousins' contract? He might get more than $80 million.
I tell y'all, I couldn't be a GM. There's no way I could sit across from Geno and his agent and look at that piece of paper and just say 4 years, $95 million on. I look back up at Geno Smith in the next 4 years. He had a fantastic season. God bless that dude. I'm not gonna commit to $95 million just by salary cap to Geno Smith. And I guess I'd just be wrong. But I couldn't be a GM. Like I couldn't get that to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but then you bring in the unsigned arms off the street and you say, okay, let me go get that money to Geno because it's bad out here.
They got two first round picks. You better move on.
You may have three years with the old Geno Smith. You're right, JQ. He had a great season, but what if he goes back to Geno?
I think he was always the most accurate quarterback in the league when it came to deep balls this year.
I think he was really talented. I just think he got a bad – he has a really bad case of bad luck, man. You get punched in the jaw over a gambling debt and for the Jets, that messes up your career. You go to the Giants, you're all set to start because the coach is ready to move on from Eli. And then all of a sudden, the New York media galvanizes the angry Mike and the Mad Dog fan base, and they want to save Eli's streak. So they run the MEGA plan, make Eli great again, and play him for two more years, even though Eli was washed 2 years before that. And you should have moved on with Geno. They would discover, like, Geno can really throw the ball, man. Like, he's a solid guy. And with
he was the most accurate on deep balls this year. He was the most accurate quarterback in the league.
Dude.
You know what? I gotta get off here. But I just want y'all to recognize how he glossed over that he got punched in the mouth in the locker room over a gambling day. That lets you further know that I'm not giving Geno $90 million.
If you owe an unsigned linebacker, give him his money. Like, never short an unsigned linebacker. Like, that was
right. You don't make good decisions. I'm not giving you $90 million. You just can't fly that past me, Naj. You are correct. That should happen, and that's another brick in the wall. I mean, not giving you money. I'm sorry.
I just want you to think about the quarterback market that's out there. So you're going to fix Derek Carr? That's what you're going to tie your career to? You're going to fix Derek Carr?
I got
it. So you're going to bring in Jimmy G without weapons and see what Jimmy G can
do.
Don't
Seattle got two first-round picks?
Like, see what I mean? Yeah.
They do.
They're going to build up that roster.
Geno Smith, Will Levis.
Why? I give y'all these two first-round picks and a second and a third to get up there to get me one of the quarterbacks that I like this year before I give Geno $90 million. Shit.
Well, you hope he's good for 2 years, and then, you know, of course, you probably won't see the rest of that money. But you sign up for those two, you keep building your team, you use the picks, and then you get a quarterback later. I don't see what the problem is.
I want to get the Vikings GM for two-term. How you feel about giving Kirk Cousins all that money? You probably burned his whole house down and get the insurance money so you can get it back.
If I'm the general manager of the Seahawks, I kind of agree with Nas. I would try to see if we can convince him to give him a two-year deal. The thing you got to realize, the Seattle's main problem last year was their defense. I mean, they couldn't stop the five of us from scoring. And, their defense was horrible last year. I mean, we can say all of this crap about Brock Purdy, but Brock Purdy, the only team he put up 40-some points on was the Seahawks defense. That was it. And that defense was horrible.
That's funny.
So if I'm the general manager of Seattle, I'm going to take my chances with Geno at the quarterback position. None of these rookies have even had one great season in the NFL. Geno at least had one great season.
Sure.
I'm going to take my shot with Geno, and I'm going to build that defense with those draft picks and with free agency here. And you might have something there because they have some weapons on that team. Kenny Walker, heck of a running back. The offensive line was better last year. They got some weapons on the perimeter. If they can invest in that defense and be better on the defensive side of the football, they might have something. We don't know what San Francisco is going to be like. San Francisco got a lot of weapons. I mean, they proved they can win a lot of games with just about any of us at quarterback. And they're going to be there. But Seattle, if they can improve that defense, they're right there in the mix in that NFC West.
But you act like you can't take the money you give to Geno and spread that to free agents on defense to bolster that defense, and then get your quarterback on a rookie deal for the next 5 years.
Right.
Yeah, well, how's that going to happen next year?
You
think the rookie quarterbacks don't be ready next year?
You can sign Geno and do that anyway. Right. You can sign Geno and do
that
anyway.
Not if you give his ass $90 million.
Yes, you can.
No, I didn't say that.
You give him his 2-3 years, and then after that, if it doesn't work out, you grab a guy.
He's
in the driver's seat.
2 year, $70 million.
Geno's in the driver's seat.
I'll take it. 2 years, I give him the $35 million. For 2 years, you're not hurting yourself too much long term. So you're taking a chance, but you're only doing it for 2 years. That's just the going price of quarterbacks. You're going to have to take that chance.
Geno should fire his agent if he accepts a two-year deal. He better strike while the iron is hot. If he lets him talk into a two-year deal, he's a damn fool.
No, yeah, it better be a lot.
Bold prediction.
It takes 2 years. But like
yeah,
I said, these are NFL contracts. So even if he signs a 4-year, we could call it a 2. This is NFL. Like we all know.
Yeah, it depends how
they
will
get you
about
to pay.
Yeah, it depends on how structure. I give you that.
We're gonna jump off. But bold prediction. Watch the Miami Dolphins, man. All they need is a quarterback away. Vic Fangio takes the job for DC. There's quarterback away, man. You saw how good they're playing, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, you never know. They may want to say, you know, I need a quarterback. They may be Geno. Rick can't put magic for 1 year, man. So that's Andre's bold prediction. We talked about Garoppolo, but they think they're quarterback away. You don't know what's up with Tua, but that may be the dude. I'm just saying.
You go to the dude that got in a fight about gambling in South Beach? Good luck.
No, but
exactly.
that makes the point even further because you insert Geno in that offense and they're ready to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they get three chicks pregnant by week 8 off
well,
that
know,
new contract
they're
money.
They're ready to go, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
we get out.
Michael McDonald, he coached Jimmy G with the 49ers, so you never know. He could make that
That's
chance.
A good
he could take that
Jimmy
chance.
G.
Those are the two.
And then watch
D'Amico
Ryan's in Houston. Even though the Houston may draft the quarterback, D'Amico may say, hey, I may still need a veteran. He may go after Jimmy G, too. He had him in San Francisco as well. So Houston and Miami could be sleeper teams for Jimmy G, too.
Yep. All right. Well, Jake, who's going to blow a gasket? Hey, guys, have a great rest of your week. Nosh, thanks for calling in. Gary, please be safe on the road, man. Marlon, appreciate you joining in. Nosh, I apologize for grabbing you late, man. But, again, the fact you always bring some heat, some hilariousness. Rob, thank you for putting the show topic together and posting as well, man. So, again, you guys have a great, great week. We'll talk to you guys.
Gary, stop wearing dresses
on
out
Tuesday
there.
Of next week. For real, man. So, yeah.
Hey, Joe.
I can't promise that.
Oh, my God.
Wait till the next show.
All right,
y'all.
I got to go, guys. Good night.
Later, y'all.